Agricultural information is made possible with support from the Archer Daniels Midland Company. ADM, resourceful by nature.
It's coming up on 8:50, and Dave Dickey joins us now with a look at the pre-opening commodity markets. Good morning to you, Dave.
Good morning, Jay, and good Wednesday morning, everyone. The Midwest Direct Hog markets are called flat to $1 per hundredweight lower today, amid large supplies available to the plants in the holiday shortened work week. Terminals are called steady to lower. Tops at two of the locations were not yet available today. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Monday, December 31st, negotiated swine purchases were 6,813 for the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis. The base price range was $39 to $48.65. The weighted average was $46.67, a loss of 19 cents from last Friday. On a live basis, sparrows and gilts sold from $31.29 to $38.75. The weighted average was $36.91. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 15,470. The base price range was $39 to $52. The weighted average, $47.83, a loss of $1.71 from last Friday. On a live basis, sparrows and gilts sold from $30.63 to $38.23, and the weighted average was $37.05. Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser.
Taking a look at the weather, first of all, we'll go to South America. And something that's different since the last time I was in here about a week and a half ago is some rain has fallen in Argentina. Although over the last 24 hours it was dry and very hot in Argentina. Upper 90s reported in many areas, but some scattered showers and thunderstorms did occur in central and southern portions of Argentina, as well as in Brazil, around the central areas of Brazil, around Sao Paulo. And there's going to be more isolated showers and thunderstorms developing in Argentina today. Higher coverage, though, is expected as we go into tomorrow and Friday. And most of the higher coverage of showers and thunderstorms is expected to be in the central into the northern production areas of Argentina. And those showers and thunderstorms will eventually work northward into the country of Paraguay and the southern state of Rio Grande do Sul in Brazil. And, of course, that's a production area that could use some rain. Now, as we look ahead, it appears that when all is said and done, there's going to be enough rain that much of Brazil is going to get some moisture, and that will boost the crop development there. Argentina getting some showers that are needed, but, you know, they had that dry bias in mid-December, and it looks like they're going to be hot again this weekend into next week. So that's going to lead to maybe some stress on the crops again in Argentina. So that's something we have to watch, but at least they've had some rain. Otherwise, this heat that's coming in could be absolutely devastating for them. So that's not the problem right now. So it does look like some isolated showers and thunderstorms for the main production areas of Argentina the next couple of days, and that before it starts to push northward. Now back to the United States. It's cold, it's windy across the Midwest, some transportation problems where there is enough snow that's still blowing around today. Some lake effect advisories for north central Indiana into Michigan, also northern Ohio. So those are where the travel problems are greatest. But we do have warmer weather coming in, and it looks like the snow, which there's not a lot of around here, is going to melt pretty quickly here later this week. And we're going to be in a rather quiet period of weather for the next several days. And may see a few rain showers over the weekend, but nothing much. Powerful weather system is pushing into the West Coast, and this is a monster system in terms of coverage. And it looks like starting tomorrow and continuing into the weekend, there will be lots of precipitation over the western third of the United States. And as you know, with all the fires over the summer, and summer is the dry season for much of that area anyway, but this is going to be a great moisture boost for a lot of the West. Now, along the coastal areas and into the mountains of California, there may be too much moisture leading to flooding and mudslides, so I'll have to watch out for that. And, of course, in the higher elevations out there, there could be some heavy snow. No effects on our weather in the near term, but this system could affect us as we go into next week. So that's something we'll be watching as it comes on shore. And once it comes on shore, we'll know a lot more about the details. But it does look like we'll start out with windy and milder weather this weekend. And by the time we get to Sunday, we'll probably have 50s around here, which is a lot warmer than the 4 degrees on Friends Plaza of WILL right now. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Keyser.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In the Tuesday overnight trading session, Kansas City March wheat open at 9:17, up 3.5 on the open. Last trade up 8.5. May 9:20 unchanged. Last trade up 4.75. At the Board of Trade, March wheat opened at 8.92.5, up 7.5. Last trade up 14. September opened at 7.82, up 7. Last trade up 8.75. March corn opened at 4.56 1/4, up 3/4. Last trade up 6. July 4.76 1/2, unchanged. Last trade up 4.5. December 4.73 1/2, unchanged. Last trade up 6. January beans open at 12.06 1/4, up 7.25. Last trade up 22.25. March 12.21 1/2, up 7.25. Last trade up 25.75. July 12.41 1/4, up 6.25. Last trade up 25.75. January soybean meal opened at 3.28.20, down 3.30. Last trade up 7.20. January soybean oil opened at 49.10, up 25. Last trade up 35. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Tom Mann of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Dave.
Looks like we had new contract highs in both soybeans and corn overnight as the soybean oil continues to make its march toward 51. I also see we had new contract highs this morning, it looks like, in January crude oil futures. Is that what's spurring this market on?
Well, I think there's a number of things. Obviously, crude's up a couple of bucks this morning. Had a letter out by Goldman Sachs, an advisory letter saying that commodities were underpriced and they were looking for corn to be up 14% and beans up 29% in the coming year. Also, we got some reports coming out on January the 11th, and the sentiment there is to be long prior to the report. Gold's up. Mid-840s and dollars down again. I guess on the other hand, you know, then we've got this thing, what they call fund rebalancing, AIG and GSCI, those indexes starting on the January the 8th. And the rebalancing structure is supposedly selling beans, bean oil, Chicago wheat and crude, and then turning around and buying corn, KC wheat and sugar. Now, whether that comes to pass or not, I don't know. There's a lot of eyes on that just to see how that all shakes out.
If that were to come to pass, Tom, what would be the upside potential?
Well, we're probably looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of 450 to 475 on corn, which, you know, that's not all that great of shakes, and beans as high as 1450.
1450 beans, so that 1290 will be in the way in the rearview mirror by then.
It could be. Now, you know, this is all talk.
Yes.
And whether it gets done or not, there's so many things that can happen in a day's period that you just don't know. So it's a crapshoot, I think, that we're going to get that high, but the possibility is real.
Meanwhile, in the stellar march of the beans and the corn, the wheat has sort of just been chopping around for the most part.
Yeah, and, you know, at this time of the year, traditionally, everything takes kind of a header and goes down. Well, we had a little indication of that maybe a week or so ago, and then market recovered, and it's right back where it was. So it really doesn't act to me like it has any real heavy downside potential at this point. Now, this fund rebalancing, that may change the whole complexion of everything. You just don't know.
If we are in a so-called fight for acres between beans and corn, and you could probably throw in cotton and a few other commodities as well,
yep.
When does it end?
When the money runs out. And, at some point, Dave, down the road, economics is going to tell you that, people are not going to pay for this. It's just like, is corn and soybeans, are they fuel or is it food? At some point, when you start feeding meal, you feed corn and everything else. Right now, the hog people are taking a heck of a beating. Are cattle going to go the same route? I think so. At some point, this stuff's just going to get to the point where it's going to be a political problem, and then there'll be some adjustment there. And what it's going to be, I don't know.
Quickly, then, the calls this morning.
We're going to follow the overnights. You're going to see corn up 6 to 7 and beans up probably in the 20s.
Thank you very much, Tom. Tom Mann of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILLAG.org.